We've got Jasmine in the studio, and we're going to have a chat with her about environmental issues. Morning, Jasmine.
Morning, Aaron.
How are we doing? How's the Environment Centre at the moment?
Oh, yeah, we're great. Yep, everything's ticking along. Awesome. Okay. We've just had Manu in to build onto the awesome tall library shed that he built inside the centre hub.
Yeah.
So we've got more shelving in there and just a little bit more space, less trip hazards now. And we can display things nicely and see what we've got. And we're about to order some, we're just in the process of ordering more tools.
What sort of tools are you going to get?
Ooh, power tools.
Power tools. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you've got, I mean, you've got gardening implements and things, and there's a lawnmower, weed whacker.
We've got two electric lawnmowers, cordless, Massport.
Yeah.
We get our electric gardening equipment from Adam here at Raglan Outdoor Power.
Oh, yes. Yep.
So he supplies us with some awesome, good quality Massport electric cordless stuff. So, yeah, we've got two electric cordless lawnmowers, we've got three electric cordless weed whackers, we've got an electric cordless hedge trimmer, we've got all types of stuff, and then we've got the power tools as well, like jigsaw and electric drills and circular saw, sander, and then we've got things like sewing machines and a cute little portable Weber barbecue.
That's a tool. It's a very important tool.
It is, but lots of little things as well that you just don't think of. So yeah, it's worth coming in and checking out the tool library. I think people are quite surprised. A few months ago, we got a flag made that now is popped out on the street outside the town hall.
Yeah.
That just says tool library, and we get. I've opened up on our Saturdays for the last few weeks and. It is so funny. You just get people, like visitors to town, you just see a head pop around the corner because they see that flag and it's like, tool library?
Yeah, what's that? Yeah. Yeah, and I know sometimes, like I've got a few basic screwdrivers in the studio for things, but if I have something tricky going on with the mixing desk, I haven't been known to pop over to ransack the tool library, see what I can find. So,
Yeah. Well, we're going to upgrade that screwdriver thing as well.
Yeah, I'm all right for screwdrivers, but... I can't remember what it was. There was something weird going on with the mixing desk. There's all sorts of things in this room that I have to keep maintained. Anyway, let's get on track with what we are talking about. What's happening this weekend?
Ah, yeah, we've got a couple of events happening this weekend. The first one is on Saturday from 10 to 12 is our third Repair Cafe. So that's going to be, awesome, pretty popular. The venue this time is in the hall on Stewart Street, which is, I think I talked about this event the last time I was on the radio. Yeah. So it's where we hold the growers market as well, on Stewart Street. So there's going to be the list of things to repair. There's general repairs. You never know what someone there can fix. Electrical repairs, testing and tagging of electrical equipment. Textile repairs, garment mending, bike repairs, and we've got Jake and Marcus from Raglan Computers joining us this time for computer and tech.
Okay.
Mm.
So, and I presume it's not too complicated stuff, like you've got something that's really difficult.
Yeah, maybe. We do have businesses in town that provide that level of service.
Okay, yeah.
Generally, the rule of thumb is if it takes more than 20 minutes, then, because we want to get through everyone and we're not there to, like, spend 2 hours trying to fix one item when, you know, like, we want to try and fix as many things as we can. And in that case, we'll be referring you to somebody who does that as a job. Yeah.
Right, which might be helpful in itself. We don't all know everyone who can fix everything.
That's right.
In our community, so yeah.
That's right. And also, the idea behind this is, there's lots of just everyday goods that people, if they get damaged, you generally either can't fix it if you don't know how, there might not be somebody available to fix that small household item.
Yeah.
And it just ends up in landfill and you end up replacing it with another cheap, bad quality item.
Yeah, which will last a couple of years and be gone as well.
If that...
Yeah.
So this isn't, we're not talking large household goods. We're talking, small items that you can easily transport. So, yeah, maybe don't turn up with a trailer with a fridge on the back. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but maybe if the cable on the fridge, the plug got cut off by something and just needs a new plug on the end. Maybe.
I don't know.
I was thinking,
but you could ask. I was come along and ask.
Yeah, I was thinking, what's a simple thing that you do with a fridge? Just
well,
replace
a
plug.
Oh, yeah. I think there's somebody, like somebody asked on Facebook, do you fix printers? I've got a printer that's not working properly. I know. And yeah, printers. We all have our thoughts about printers. Yeah.
That's the, yeah, yeah. Let's not even go
but
there.
Jake commented and said, printers are generally created so that you can't even get the parts to fix them.
Yeah,
so,
they're the ultimate expression of kind of consumer shopping, really.
And this is the thing that I think it was the Zero Waste Network and the Repair Cafe Aotearoa and different organisations were petitioning government about was the right to repair, which is we should parts should be accessible for everything. You know, we have a right to repair our goods, and the fact that there aren't government policies in place that enforce the ability to get parts to repair your items that you've paid for, because if you can't fix them, then they don't really belong to you, do they?
Yeah, and this has been a successful movement in the US. They've actually made some gains over there.
Yeah.
Although people like Apple are holding out as much as they can and trying to work their way around it, but still the movement has had some success. So,
yeah. And if you Google Right to Repair New Zealand, you will find the petition. It's still active. You can still add your name to it. It was submitted to government already, but it's still accepting signatures because it's still, you know, it's work in progress.
It's still an issue.
Yeah.
It hasn't gone away. Yeah. Okay. I think you said there were two things happening this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, just one thing. I believe that this particular repair cafe, we're short of a couple of textile repairers.
Yeah.
They might be away or, you know, we always need more repairers. So we'd be really grateful. Like if anyone out there enjoys visible mending, patching, sewing, garment repair, if you have those skills and you'd like to lend them to the Repair Cafe just for an hour or two on Saturday, please email Katie at repaircafe@whaingaroa.org.nz.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And then on Sunday, we have our annual spring fling at the Wenera Street Community Garden. So we do that every spring because we've got to prepare the garden beds in order to get a nice summer crop.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be, I know that they're really wanting help with weeding and tidying the area and creating a small no-dig garden for potato. So, so be really grateful if anyone could come down and help with that. You've also got the opportunity to get a bit creative in the garden by designing and decorating some garden signs and painting some rocks. There's the opportunity for a really good conversation. So you might have some really great spring gardening tips or hacks that you want to share with other gardeners. And as we always do, we'll be finishing off that little working bee with some eating together. So if you've got a special little dish that you want to bring along, that would be that you can enjoy with everyone. It'd be great to have you there. Bring some gardening tools, maybe some spades, gloves, sun hat. Don't forget your water bottle and some closed-toed shoes just for a bit of health and safety there. Any spare tools you have. We do have a few tools, of course, that we can bring from the tool library.
Yep.
If you bring your own, it's really helpful. So that is from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday at the Wenera Street Community Garden.
Is that behind the police station?
It's behind the police station. So okay. Wenera Street is the one where... If you turn left at the library on the corner there, turn left, head towards the water. The police station's on the right, and you just walk behind the police station. There's a driveway just before the police station you can walk down.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And don't be shy. You won't get in trouble for walking past the police building.
No, not at all. Yeah, they're very friendly there.
Okay, how's the time bank?
Time bank's great. And Meredith's actually leading some three open time bank orientations coming up this month. So if you are time bank curious, you can head along, or you just maybe you are a member, maybe you've signed up already, but you're not quite sure you understand how it works. You can head along to Meredith's at 6 Norrie Ave on three dates to choose from. We've got Monday the 11th of September at 4 p.m, Friday 15th of September at 10:30 a.m, Saturday 16th of September at 3 p.m.
Right, okay.
And if you want to contact TimeBank. You can TimeBank at whangaroa.org.nz.
Okay. All right. What about coastal cleanup? I've got a note here about a coastal cleanup. What's happening?
Yeah, so International Coastal Cleanup Day. It happens every year in September. And Stacey and I are forming quite a nice tradition of planning something together.
So that's Stacey from?
Stacey from Coast Care Waikato.
Yeah.
Yep. So this year we've got Gemma from Sustainable Coastlines joining us as well. So we've got we're going to be tackling Ruapoki Beach again. We did the last cleanup was in March, where we collected 44 kgs.
It's a bit of a magnet down there.
It is, yep. So we've got those ocean currents. Yeah, the different beaches around Whangaroa on the coast here have got different types of rubbish. Beach trash. So, for example, down at Papahua or on the main beaches there, you'll see a lot of the rubbish is actually land, like it's people visiting the beach that are creating that rubbish.
Right, yeah.
But at Ruapoki, you've got those ocean currents that just seems to be a magnet. The way the ocean currents work, it drags all that ocean trash and dumps it on the beach there.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah, which is why we do collect large quantities. I mean, 44 kgs of rubbish picked up on the beach is quite substantial.
Yeah.
So that was, I think there were close to 50 people we had that day. That was April, March. And we spent, it's just 2 hours. You know, generally the beach cleans are just 2 hours because that's like probably the, that's a doable amount of time.
Yeah.
You're not taking too much away from your day. And it's a 2 kilometre walk there and 2 kilometres back. So we depart from the south end car park and walk to the north end, and then we walk back and you work in like pairs or threes, one person with a clipboard marking what the rubbish is that your teammates are finding.
Yeah.
So we do that data collection on the way, and then that means that that data can get all put together into a nice pie chart of what we're actually finding, and that's really, really useful for policymakers. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess this story's been repeated on beaches up and down the country.
International Coastal Cleanup Day is a really big day around the world. So everything that we find in that weight, we're also submitting to them.
Yeah.
And they have been gathering that data and reporting on it online for years.
So they have a grand total of probably a scary number of tons of rubbish.
You can Google it and you can actually look through their reports. They release a report the year after to show what was found around the world.
Yeah.
So I guess that shows, like, over time, that information collected shows what the, you know, what different countries are experiencing and seeing, and
Now, I know we were talking about Science Night. I want to ask you about how you felt the last Science Night went, which was about beach erosion. Was there stuff there that you learned, and you running the Environment Centre, you might already know the answers to most of what was there, but was there some stuff that, some takeaways from that for you?
I think that I did already know this because I've been chatting to Stacey about it a lot. So the reason why we wanted to do this particular Science Night was because of all of the chatter online in the community. Like, I mean, you see the coastal erosion and it's a bit freaky when you see it. Of course, I'm not going to talk about it too much because I'm not an expert. I'll leave that to Stacey.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think people get a bit freaked out and they see it and they think it's like really shocking what's happening, and then they see other councils like putting in seawalls or, you know, tyres and stuff. And probably the biggest takeaway from that is, there's two things actually from takeaways from Science Night, is erosion, there is an element of it that is actually just a natural process.
Yeah.
So there will be some point where the ocean is dumping that sand back on the coast.
Yeah, okay. The exact point of the coastline moves in and out, I guess is the way of saying
that's
it.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then another massive takeaway is the reason why seawalls and tyres don't work is because what you're doing is you're creating this really narrow barrier, and when the waves hit that seawall, all it's doing is it's pushing that force out to either side of the seawall and then creating more power and more damage either side of the seawall. So you'd actually have to put a seawall around the entire this entire coast in order to protect it.
Once you start, it's hard to stop. Yeah, and I will be I've talked to Stacey, interviewed her a little while ago. I'm going to be interviewing Shaw Mead, who is the other speaker at Science in a few weeks. He's quite busy. But we'll
I think
catch
he's
up
off overseas again soon.
Probably, he's always back and forth. So so what's coming up with the next Science Night? When is
so, so next Science Night is going to be held on the 27th of September. So as we know, it's always on a Wednesday night from 6 to 7 in the front bar of the Harbourview Hotel. But yeah, so 27th of September, our Science Night, our 21st Science Night. And I haven't actually even posted it online yet. I'm getting, I'll be doing that over the next few days. But we've got Adam Purcell, he's the restoration ecologist and director of Te Toki Land Care. So he's coming to talk to us. I can't tell you any more than that, only because I don't have the exact details yet.
So ecological,
but it will
ecological restoration.
So it'll be a good one.
Okay. And
just so everyone knows, you can go on to our, for any more information, if you didn't catch all of those dates and times, please head to our website, whangaroa.org.nz, click on the events tab at the top of the page on the website, and you will be able to see all of the events displayed there. Or you can find us on Facebook, the Whangaroa Environment Centre.
Yeah.